All right, if you want to turn over to Philippians 4, verse 10 through 13 again. Let's go ahead and read that. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. It said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We're looking at the whole idea of being content, aren't we, in the Lord. That's what Philippians 4 is about here in this last section. And we've seen that being content in the Lord is based on an understanding and a trust in the Lord's providence. In other words, we see that everything that comes into our life, nothing is by accident. It all comes through the Father's hand. It all comes into our life through love. And it all comes into our life through a great design to develop us, not destroy us. And so everything that comes in, we can embrace and say, God, you know what you're doing. And so I trust you, even when it looks adverse. That was Paul in prison there, in that Roman prison. Earlier on in Philippians, he says, I'm in chains for the Lord. He's done this. He's got me here for a reason. And so Paul was able to embrace it, serve God faithfully, and just rejoicing. He was content there in prison, giving himself to the Lord's purposes because he understood that God's providence, there was no accidents in his life. He just trusted what God was doing. Now, we saw 2 weeks ago, we looked at some of the things that make contentment impossible. Remember that? When we turn our wants into our needs, when we rely on anything but God alone, and when we fail to fight daily for contentment in our life. Those three things will make contentment in your life impossible. And if you want to go back and review those, we have the CDs back there. You can get those. Now, this morning, we want to see that contentment is sustained through the power of God. Contentment sustained through the power of God. Now, you can come out of one of those studies where we're talking about contentment and say, I'm going to be content. Right on. But you know what? It's going to take the power of God to live a contented life. Especially when something that is trying to steal your contentment goes on for a while, right? I can be content for a few minutes, but when there's a trial in my life that continues on for a couple weeks or a couple months, I'm going to need to be sustained by the power of God to be a person who is characterized by a satisfaction and contentment. So our outline is this. We have a full study, so I want to get right into it. We've got four things here. The problem, low living. The promise, I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. I don't have to settle for a low living. The picture is the vine and the branches we want to look at. And the process is how to live like a branch. So we're going to show you how to live like a branch today. The problem, low living. What is that? Well, let me ask you, how would you describe your Christianity? Dynamic or depressing? Victory or defeat? Excited about the things of God or wondering, isn't it supposed to be better than this? You know something's missing. You just don't know what it is. You see what the Bible seems to be promising you. A joy so great, it's inexpressible. A peace so deep, it's beyond understanding. A victory that is so thorough, we're called more than conquerors. A life so vibrant that Jesus says it's going to be like streams of living water flowing out of you. You're the kind of person that people get around and they get splashed by God. Jesus said in John 10:10, you know this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Which is exactly what Philippians is talking about, that joy-filled life, that contented, satisfied life. But if you're honest, you'd have to admit, you know what? My experience is so much different than that. I feel frustrated. I feel defeated. I have so little joy, so little contentment and satisfaction. And you know what? When we come to that point, you know what the solution is so many times? Well, I guess I just have to roll up my sleeves and try harder. Try to ratchet up that sheer determination and willpower a few more notches, and then maybe my life will start to flow the way it's supposed to, and I'll start to live out a Christianity like I see in the Bible. But you discover quickly, don't you, that life in your own power, the best that you can do, is really pretty pathetic. Because Christianity is beyond what we can do in our own strength. Every bit of it. And so you try to do the best you can do, but you're still seeing so much inconsistency in your life, so much defeat. And you end up like the story I read, like this old boy that got tired of cutting wood by hand. And he'd heard about these fancy new chainsaws. And so he goes down and he buys a chainsaw. But the next day he brings it back and he says, you know what, this chainsaw is useless. It's harder to cut wood with this than it was with my old handsaw. The clerk said, I haven't had that complaint before, but let me check it out. And so he pulls the starting cord and vroom. And the old boy says, what's that sound? He was trying to cut wood with a chainsaw, but he never turned on the power. It's a lot like we do with Christianity. We just try to live it out, but we never get connected to the power. Never plug into the power source. And Paul is saying here in Philippians 4:13, he says, there is a power source that's available that's sufficient enough so that we can live out Christianity in its fullest. Live out the exciting Christian life. But if you want to keep living life in your own strength, you know what? You're doomed to failure, aren't you? You are doomed to frustration and defeat. You will be conquered by your flesh rather than being more than a conqueror over your flesh. So we have to learn how to live a life that is dependent upon another power source. So that's the problem, low living. Let's look at the promise. I can do all things. That's verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The extent. I mean, that's quite a promise, isn't it? I can do how many things? I can do all things. Everything that God requires of me, everything that Christianity is telling me I need to be, I can do all of that through His strength. Every command in the Bible, His strength is sufficient to empower me to obey. Everything that God has called us to in serving Him, His strength is sufficient for us to be effective. Every weakness that is frustrating us. I mean, you may naturally have the tendencies to be angry. So I'm just angry. Or you may have a tendency towards laziness or a tendency towards lust or bitterness. Or we can just add this whole list of what you seem to have a natural bent towards. You say, well, you know what? It's just who I am. And the scriptures say, well, you know what? God will strengthen you so that you can overcome that. You don't have to just be who you are. You can be Christ-like. How about this? Infirmities of the flesh. You may have health problems. And you can say, oh, I really can't serve God because of this or that. But I'll tell you what. The strength of God is sufficient enough to where we can overcome health problems and still serve Him. The history of the church is filled with people and testimonies of being so weakened by health problems, but then relying on a strength that is greater than their own and still serving God, right? I mean, how many testimonies are like that? People so against the odds, sick and weak, diseased, and yet in the power of God, they serve Him in a great way. See, what's happening here, I think, in this scripture is this. This scripture sweeps in and it crushes every excuse, doesn't it? It crushes all of those, I can't because. And Paul says, no, you can because there is a strength that's available that is sufficient enough to enable you to do all things that God is asking you to do. What a scripture. What a promise. But by contrast, think of what Jesus said over in John 15:5. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. What a contrast, right? Paul says, in the power of Christ, you can do everything. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, there's a choice. How am I going to live my life? Am I going to live my life in the power of Christ? Or am I going to try to live it on my own? And Jesus says, what a frustrating way to go. You really can't do anything apart from me. And I think we've got to just come to the place, don't we, where we say that, you know what, I think what Jesus is saying is probably right, that apart from Him, I can't do anything. But with His strength, I can do it all. Now, I want to show you also how willing God is to help you. Because I think a lot of times we'll see these promises and we'll think, you know, okay, power's available, but is God really willing to help me? Me? I mean, I can see why it would help you guys. You guys are all like spiritual. But I know how weak I am. And I know my own failures all too intimately. And so, okay, he might help you, but will he really help me? Psalm 121, 1 through 3 says this. I want to show you God's willingness to help at all times. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I love that. He says, I need help. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the hills, but it comes from the one who made the hills. I have a creator, and he's willing to help. And remember last week we looked at the universe, and we saw that God's hand spans the universe, and we saw that the universe is 6 billion light years wide at least. It's a million, million galaxies. 6 billion light years, that's 6 billion times 6 trillion miles. And the scripture says his hand spans that. He goes like that, and his hand spans that. You know, I was thinking about that Monday after I taught it, and I was doing my devotions. I was in my devotional time, and I thought, that's a big hand. 6 billion times 6 trillion miles. And I was thinking about the Milky Way galaxy. Our little galaxy, like I said last week, is a little hick galaxy in the middle of all that. It's a nothing galaxy. It's no big deal at all. It's a small one. And so what I did was I took a little pin and I went like that on my hand, in the middle of my hand. I said, that's like the Milky Way galaxy in his hand. Just a little dot. A million, million galaxies. That's my God. That's my Father. Is he big enough when he decides to help? Is there any problem that I have that I can't give to him and he is sufficient in his power? Of course he's big enough. And then it says in Psalm 121, 1 through 3, that help that God gives is always available. He promises there. He says, he never sleeps. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. So that help is available 24 hours a day. There will never be a time where it will be, well, you know, he's asleep. Can you come back in 6-7 hours? No. Help available immediately all the time. So he's not reluctant to help. He's your loving Father. He delights in helping. Don't you parents delight in helping your children? Wouldn't he be the same? But listen to this. Jeremiah 32, 40 through 41 says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant. That's that new covenant. That means we're involved in that as the church, that new covenant. He says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. Then he says, I will rejoice in doing them good. Isn't that good? Almighty God says, I delight, I rejoice in doing good for you. I rejoice in blessing you. That's his heart towards us. Is he reluctant to help? Of course not. He wants to. He delights in helping us. He delights in blessing us. He is a loving Father. And one of my favorite verses that I have said so many times that just amazes me, and I want it to amaze you too, is Psalm 23:6 says this, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that word there where it says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days? That means a relentless pursuit in the original, or it can mean chasing. Isn't that good? Every day you wake up, what happens? The goodness and love of God is chasing you. He's after you. To what? To hit you because he's mad? No, he's not mad at you anymore. I mean, again, back to the word propitiation. Remember we've talked about that? What does propitiation mean? Propitiation means that he exhausted his wrath against us on Jesus. There's no anger left. Jesus took it all. He loves you. And so now, as his child, he pursues you with that love. Every day you wake up, and his love and his goodness is pursuing you relentlessly, chasing you down. He is not reluctant to help at all. He is not reluctant to pour His power into our life. He wants you to succeed spiritually, doesn't He? Of course He does. He's your loving Father. He wants you to live a joy-filled, contented, victorious life. And every day, He's saying, I'm pursuing you to help you to do that. So Paul tells us, rely on God's power, not your own, in all things. Rely on God's power at all times. It's always available. He never slumbers. Your loving Father delights in doing good to you, blessing you. There's no reluctance there at all. So what have we seen so far? The problem. The problem is when we try to live this Christianity out in our own strength, right? That's the problem. The promise, God will give you His strength to live it. And when you're walking in His strength, Christianity becomes a joy, an excitement. It's thrilling. In your own strength, it's frustrating. You're defeated. You're inconsistent. In His strength, Christianity begins to work. And you start living out of Christianity, it looks more like the Bible instead of what we're seeing today. But now here's the question. How does this power we need so desperately flow into our lives? Well, go over to John 15. Here we have the picture, the vine and the branches. And what we get out of this picture is that the Christian life is a life that is supernaturally empowered by Christ. God resides in us and is willing to live His life through us. That's the picture here in John 15. And again, it's the only way we can live the Christian life out. And so look at 15:5. He says, very famous verse, but this is what we want to look at right now. He says, I am the vine. Jesus talking here. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a beautiful picture of how the Christian life works, right? You have the vine, that's Jesus. You have the branch, that's the believer who is connected to the vine. That vine then is a source of life, isn't it? And so you have this vital connection, you have this vine pouring in everything that that branch needs to produce fruit. Now, what is the sap that runs into that branch? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings the life of Christ to us. And so the Holy Spirit, one of His ministries is not only to bring the life of Christ to us, but then to live the life of Christ out through us. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so what we have here, I believe, in John 15:5 is we have a picture of walking in the Spirit, or we have a picture of the Spirit-filled life, right? The life of Christ in us, flowing through us, through the Spirit. And it's the life that Jesus modeled for us while He was here on earth. Luke 4:1 says this, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Luke 4:14 says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And so Jesus, the prototype Christian, shows us what it takes to live the Christian life. What is it? It is walking in the power of the Spirit. Walking in the fullness of the Spirit. That's that divine power flowing into our life. And that happens through the Spirit. So what do we have so far? Problem. Many are living too low in their life because they're living in their own power. The promise. God is willing to pour His power into our life so that we can live out the Christian life. The pitcher, the branch and the vine. This happens as we stay connected to our source of life, Jesus. And through His Spirit, His life comes into our life. And His life is lived through our life. But now we need to get more practical. We need to see what the Spirit-filled life is then. If this is the life of walking in Christ's power, we need to see what that is. And we need to define it because I have heard so many definitions of the Spirit-filled life. And you know what? So many of them are so mystical that you hear it and you go, well, how could I ever apply that? I don't understand what that means. And so I think the Spirit-filled life is extremely practical. What it is basically, I think, is Christianity at street level, where you are living a Christ-like life through the power of the Spirit, depending upon Him. And so let's look at that. Let's look at what the Spirit-filled life is like, living out Christ love, joy, patience, peace, victory over sin, living out His contentment in our daily life. Real Christianity. Let's define it. The process, how to live like a branch. Go over to Ephesians 5:18. Let's define what Spirit-filled life is. And it's a very simple definition. We don't have to get mystical, complicated, and it's not complicated. Very simple here in Ephesians 5:18. There's a couple things in living out the Spirit-filled life. Two things that we want to see. First one is we have to yield ourselves to Him. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." See the picture there? What the Spirit-filled life is, it is a picture of domination. You see it? When you're drunk with wine, you're dominated by wine. You're controlled by wine, aren't you? And so Paul says, don't be like that. He uses that illustration. He says, don't be like that, dominated, controlled by wine. Instead, be dominated, be controlled by the Spirit. That's the picture there. Very simple. Filled, pleroo, is a word that means a few things. One of the things it means is permeated. And so God wants His Holy Spirit to permeate the lives of His children. What we say, what we think, what we do, He wants all of that to be Spirit controlled. It is His Spirit permeating the choices we make, the way we do business, the way we treat others. And the way that usually happens, it is by submitting ourselves to the Word. The way the Spirit is going to talk to us and lead us primarily, the majority of the time, is when we get the Bible out and we read the Bible and pray, give us understanding, and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding with God's Word. And as that happens, that sanctification process is going on, isn't it? And God is taking more and more control of our life. And usually we start out, you know, young Christians, and God is getting rid of all the big stuff. But now 30 years in the Lord, 30 plus years in the Lord, God is going down deep into the recesses of the heart and saying, here's an attitude I want to deal with. And He's taking more and more control all the time. Spirit is permeating more and more of my life. That's the way it's supposed to be. But this is a choice now that we must make daily. Again, don't be so mystical on this thing. Being Spirit-filled is a choice. And it's a choice that we must make daily as we yield to Him, as we allow Him to control us. The word filled in the Greek is in the present tense. And what that means is a repeated daily event. It's a repeated event. It happens every day when you wake up, right? You're going to make a choice. Am I going to be controlled by the Spirit today? Am I going to be obedient? Am I going to yield? Or am I going to reject what He's doing? Am I going to go my own way? So every day you're going to make a choice. And at any moment, I can choose not to be Spirit-filled. How would that happen? Well, example, I'm reading my Bible. The Scripture speaks to me about an area. I know I need to repent in that area and change. And I say, no, I don't want to. Not going to do it. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. At that point, I'm no longer controlled by the Spirit, am I? It's no longer a Spirit-filled walk. I'm now being controlled by my flesh. What happens when I do that? Now, I'm no longer living that Spirit-filled life. I have now grieved the Spirit instead. What happens when I grieve the Spirit? This is very important. He withdraws. Now, this has nothing to do with my salvation. He doesn't withdraw Himself completely. What He does is He withdraws a sense of His power and presence out of my life. And basically, when we've grieved the Spirit, He says, you know what, that's fine, but you're going to now try to live life in your own power for a while. Because I'm going to withdraw a sense of my presence and a sense of my power. You get to experience the wilderness, and He will allow that to happen until we repent. The solution for that is repentance. But He will allow us to continue in the wilderness, trying to live Christianity out in our own power until finally we get so sick of it, we say, we're sorry. I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm tired of just living a life that seems so defeated constantly, where your presence is gone and your power is gone. I'm sorry. And at that point, we yield ourselves again to His control. We start walking that Spirit-filled life again, and the power comes back in, and our life begins to work again. Let me show you that, the Spirit-filled life and power. Now, this word filled, pleroo, can also be used. It's used for this also. It's a picture of the wind filling the sails of a ship. Filled, filling the sails of the ship and propelling that ship forward. And so when we are filled with the Spirit, God's power is filling the sails of our life, we could say, and pushing us forward. I love that picture. What a picture. Living under your own strength, not yielding. You're like a ship then, dead in the water, no wind in the sails, and you're just sitting there. You ever seen movies where that happens? They're all frustrated. There's no wind. They're just sitting there in the water, not going anywhere, saying, oh, we need wind. Those sails are just laying there limp. But what happens when the wind starts to kick up? You see those beautiful, big, white sails start to fill, and that ship starts to move, and everybody's all excited and happy again. Same thing with the Christian life. You've been quenching the Spirit, and you're sitting there, you're dead in the water, and you repent, you allow Him to control your life again, you yield to Him, and all of a sudden those spiritual sails start to billow, start to fill, and you start to feel you're moving again. God is alive in your life again. The spiritual winds are moving you. And what's happening is God is starting to fill your life again with Him. All of a sudden your heart's starting to come alive. And you just feel like you're just falling in love with Him afresh. And you have new holy desires. And you have a new hunger for the truth. I love that. When He's so filling your life that it seems like you just can't get enough of the Word. And you're just looking forward to prayer. There's sometimes where it seems like I just can't wait to go to bed at night because that means I get to wake up and be with Him. That's His work, isn't it? That's not because I'm spiritual, because He's doing something. He's filling the sails of my soul and He's propelling me forward with the right desires and I'm growing. He's alive in my life. It's the only way to live. You sense His presence with you. You're filled with a heavenly joy. There's, we were talking about this, I think, last week, where you're walking around and there's just that spontaneous worship because He's so alive. Isn't that awesome? You're driving in your car and all of a sudden it just feels like God says, you know what, I want your heart to come up into heaven for a while. I want to give you a foretaste of heaven. And you're just worshiping. He's so alive. He's so real. That's a Spirit-filled life. That's the way I want to live. I mean, why would I want anything else but that? Let me give you some practical steps in staying yielded to the Spirit. Live in a way where you're regularly under the influence of the Spirit. How? Main ways, I think, are through the Word and prayer, right? These keep our hearts soft and pliable and receptive. They keep God in the forefront of your mind. They keep lies out of our mind. Those lies are replaced by truth. And I think this is why Scripture memory is so helpful. When you're memorizing Scripture, I was talking with Noreen. She's taken all these fighter verses. She's written them down on cards so she can take those with her and work on those Scriptures. And what a great way to live. You've got a few minutes, pull those cards out. You're in a line in the supermarket. How much better would it be if you've got like a 5-minute wait to pull that card out and memorize that Scripture, work on it, keep God afresh in your thinking, than sit there and read the Inquirer. You know, the headlines of the Inquirer, Boy Raised by Brine Shrimp. Hey, what good is that going to do you? How much better to get that card out and say, I'm going to get the truth in my mind. I'm going to keep God alive. That's the way to live. That's what's so good about the fighter verses. Get those out. Start memorizing them. Keep your heart tender. What's happening when we're keeping the Word alive in our mind? We're staying tuned in, aren't we? We're staying tender towards God. But you neglect the Word and prayer, you're like that branch that's separated from the vine. God begins to fade, doesn't He? God will begin to fade in your thinking. And in your life. And the flesh will begin to take over and dominate you. E. Stanley Jones said this, if you don't surrender to Christ, you surrender to chaos. You'll find no joy, satisfaction, or contentment there. So yield to Him. It's so worth it. Start with your time. Yield your time to Him. Make God a priority in your life with your time. Then daily offer your life to your loving Father. I love in the morning just praying that morning prayer. You know, that rudder of the day, pointing my day at God. And I picture lifting up my heart to God and saying, God, I trust you with my heart. I trust you with my life. I trust you with everything that I am and everything that I have. And Lord, any resistance that's in me, God, go find it. Maybe I don't even see it, but find it and reveal it so that I can deal with it, because I don't want any hindrance. Help me to surrender. I can do it through your strength. So give me the strength to surrender. We need his strength in everything. You know what? We need his strength to repent. You know, one of the Puritans said, we need to repent from our repentance. Because repentance done in the flesh is a shallow repentance. We need his strength to repent properly. We need his strength for everything. So just yield yourself to him. God, I need your strength. I give you my life. Why would you not want to? What is holding you back from giving your life to Jesus? I mean, is there something in this world that's good enough that it's worth not walking with him? That it's worth pushing him back? Stiff-arming him? I don't know. This world's doomed to failure, isn't it? It's all going to burn. And it may be all burning real quick. I don't know if you watch the news lately, but I don't know what the end of the world looks like. But I think it might look like that, what's happening in the Middle East. I think that's the way it might start. I don't know. All I'm saying is, this world's doomed to failure. And so are you going to really push Jesus away for this world and anything that it has? I wouldn't. Would you trade a life with the touch of God upon it, joy in it, satisfaction and contentment for what this world has to offer? So, we yield our life to him. Make that a daily, fresh surrender. Today I'm living for you. Today I yield myself to your love. Then the second thing you have to do is we have to depend upon him daily. Yield to the Spirit daily. Depend upon the Spirit daily. The Spirit-filled walk to enable us to live out our Christian life. Now there's three things we can depend upon when it comes to the Spirit. First, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, whether we feel him or not. He's there. If you're a Christian, the Spirit's in you, right? Secondly, that the Holy Spirit has brought the life of Christ to us. And thirdly, that the Holy Spirit is willing to produce the life of Christ through us. Regardless of what situation then I find myself facing, whether I need patience and gentleness with somebody I'm dealing with, whether I need Christ's peace in the storm, whether I need power to face a temptation, the Holy Spirit is willing to bring that life of Christ to me, live it through me at that moment so that I can live a Christ-like life. Now, go over to Galatians 2:20. Let's look at this in the walk of Paul the Apostle. Here is a verse that's just amazing. These are one of these verses where we should read it and go, wait a minute, did that really say what it said? I've got to read that one again and again and again. I think I'll memorize that one because this is just too good. Galatians 2:20. Here's the walk of Paul. Now, is it in his own strength? Look at what he says there. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. What? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What do you mean, Paul? Paul says, I'm living out Christianity, but it's really not me. I'm living through another's power. He says, I don't live my spirituality out in my own power any longer. He says, Christ has come to live in me. How? By the Spirit, right? And he is now living that life of Christ out through me. How? Through the Spirit. And the way I become a beneficiary of all this, Paul says, is by faith. Faith is huge here. Depending upon him to do what he came to do in my life on a moment-by-moment basis, living Christ's life out through me daily, minute-by-minute. That's what I mean. This is what Hudson Taylor called the exchange life. Have you ever heard that term, the exchange life? This is exactly what he's talking about here. What is the exchange life? It's where I exchange my weakness for his strength. I exchange my panic for his peace. I exchange my striving for His rest, my hatred for His love, my criticism for His mercy, and you can go down the whole list. As who I am, I exchange it for who He is. And through dependence upon the Spirit, trust the Spirit to live who He is through me instead. That's the exchange life. That's the way to live, isn't it? I don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like me. I want to be like Him. And the incredible promises, He says, I'll do that for you. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm living that out. His life, no longer mine. So how do we do this? Then let's get even more practical. Faith illustrated, walking by faith day by day. You begin your day with a fresh surrender to Him, right? I yield to You. Control me. Dominate me. I don't want to make the choices anymore. Show me what to do. I'll do it. I want to live Your word out. I yield to You. If there's anything that's stopping that, show me so that You're controlling me. Then enter your day by faith, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in you and trusting upon His willingness to live that life of Christ through you. That's exactly what Galatians 2:20 is saying. And when you face trouble, trial, or temptation, face it by faith, turning quickly to the Spirit. Say this, Father, something like this. Father, I can't handle this situation in my own strength, but You never expected me to. I thank You right now that You've placed Your Spirit in me and He is willing to produce the life of Christ through me. I pray You will live His victory over sin through me right now, His love towards others, His patience and kindness, His peace in times of trouble, His victory over sin, whatever you're facing. And thank You that I can now step out in Your power, and Your power is sufficient. See what you're doing? You're simply depending upon the Spirit at that moment to live the life of Christ out through you at that moment. Whatever you're facing, temptation comes into your life, you need Christ's victory, don't you? Don't face that temptation in your own strength. You're not strong enough. You need His victory and His power. So you turn to Him. You turn to the Spirit and say, live out the life of Christ through me right now. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And He lives Himself out through the Spirit. So on a moment-by-moment basis, we are depending upon Him to supply whatever is necessary to live for Him at that moment for His glory. We appropriate the power by faith, trusting the Spirit to supply it. Then we step out in obedience. I'm going to obey You, but I am expecting Your power to meet me at that point of obedience to enable me. All throughout the day, whatever you're doing. You've got to make a phone call. You're writing an email. I want to learn how to do this. Pray for me. I need to get better at this stuff because I want to be so Christ-saturated, so Spirit-dependent. I'm writing an email to somebody. There's a quick little arrow prayer. I depend upon You to give me the words. I'm going to talk with somebody. I depend upon You to lead me in this conversation so that it glorifies You. Just that constant Spirit dependence. This is so practical. And listen, each one of you, you're going to have many opportunities to practice this throughout your day, right? When you go to work, how many opportunities do you have at work to live out a Christ-like life, but you need His power? So work dependent upon Him. In your home, I mean, how many opportunities do we have in our home? You know, your spouse says something that really irritates you, and the flesh starts to flare up. Not my spouse, your spouse. Remember I said your spouse. Well, what are you going to do with that? Well, your flesh is starting to flare up. You can try to defeat the flesh in your own power, but you'll probably just get in an argument. Or you can say this, Lord, You've told me to love my wife as You've loved the church. Right now, I ask that through the power of the Spirit that You would live that love of Jesus out through me towards my wife. I depend upon You right now to enable me to do that. And then you step out in obedience in those actions of love, and the whole time you're depending upon the Spirit. Moment by moment dependence to love your wife as He loved the church. That's a better way to do it, isn't it? That's the way to live out Christianity. You know, you wake up. You ever woke up and you just feel whiny? I had one of those days the other day. I just woke up and I'm like all grumpy and whiny and all. But what am I going to do with that? Well, you're just dissatisfied with everything. Well, you can try to fight that off and well, whatever. You know, it just happens. Or you can say, I know that You've commanded me to have joy and contentment. And so, today, Lord, I can tell right now that that is far beyond me. This is not going to happen in my strength. But I pray right now that through your Spirit, you would live the life of Christ out through me. His joy, his contentment, his peace. Help me. Help me. And so you step out into your day dependent upon the Spirit, trusting you to help me. Again, what a way to live. That's Spirit-filled living, isn't it? That's walking in the Spirit, that constant dependence upon Him. There's nothing mystical about it. It's just walking into your day, depending upon Him for everything. God, help us to live like that. So we need to establish this habit of immediately turning to the Spirit and trusting Him for everything. And again, you'll have so many opportunities to practice this so that you can become real good at it real quick. But this is when Christianity becomes so rich, isn't it? So alive, God active in your life. Think about this. You're watching Him move constantly, aren't you? All these times where you're depending upon Him, loving your wife, loving your kids, handling temptation, all these things. Now all of a sudden you're seeing God alive in your life, regularly moving. Praise God. That's the way to live. You're just a branch. Get that settled, guys. You're just a branch. Start living like it. So, I want to experience all that's possible for me. I want to experience the Christ-like life. I want to experience God alive in my life. I don't want the rut and the routine that I see so many Christians living, that I've lived so much. You know what? I don't want that. I want God alive in my life every day. I want His presence there. I want to see those sails of my soul fill. And I want to feel myself being pushed forward by God Himself. Taking those desires and turning them into desires that are so passionate, so affectionate for Him. Watching my love for Him grow. Watching my hunger for truth grow. Watching victory in those areas that I've experienced defeat. And verse 13 tells you how to do it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All things. Removes all the excuses and gives us a great potential. What a potential. How exciting the Christian life is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that strength is a possibility. Lord, is available if we will just avail ourselves of it. Just appropriate it in our lives by faith. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be those who yield to you, who are controlled by the Spirit, and those who depend upon the Spirit moment by moment in our life. Lord, teach us. Paul said he had to learn how to be content. He had to learn these things. Lord, I pray today will be the day we begin to learn it, the day we begin to practice the Spirit-filled walk. Lord, I pray that you would show us those areas we're trying to live it out in our flesh, in our own strength. Lord, I pray that you would convince us, get it through our thick skulls, Lord, that we can't do this on our own. It's impossible. And Lord, I pray that if it has to come to a place of so much frustration that we finally turn to you for strength, that you would bring us to that point quickly. But Lord, we want to walk in your power. And I pray that this would be a Spirit-filled church, Lord, where we're depending upon you, where we're living out your life through the power of the Spirit. So Lord, we offer up our hearts, offer up our lives, offer up our choices, offer up everything about us. And we pray that you would control us. There would be a Spirit domination going on in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.